social media.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have to get moving. So there's going to be a point. I'm about to give you my report. And I want you to look in your agenda because I need some participation. So look for your lyrics on Live the Life You Want, and I'll give you the cue.
Social media.
In the foreword of our book, Building the Lives We Want, 75 years of the National Federation of the Blind, Mary Ellen Jernigan compares the revolution in thinking created by quantum mechanics to the revolution in thinking about blindness created by the National Federation of the Blind. Classical mechanics consists of the work done in physics prior to the 20th century. It is the study of motion and bodies, including the special case in which bodies remain at rest, in accordance with the general principles first enunciated by Sir Isaac Newton. Classical mechanics is a way of thinking about the deep structure of the physical world. Different conclusions will occur from various specific rules, but those rules share the same patterns. Quantum mechanics was born out of the inability of classical mechanics to reconcile classical theory with the observation of experiments involving light and particles. The quantum mechanics revolution arose out of the need to explain and understand these anomalies. It was a major shift in the paradigm of physics. Just as there was a shift in the paradigm of thinking from classical mechanics to quantum mechanics, there was a similar paradigm shift in the thinking about blindness before and after 1940. The view of blindness before 1940 was based on fear, loss, and tragedy. This way of thinking was based on myths and misconceptions and emphasized the custodial treatment of blind persons. After 1940, the National Federation of the Blind began to demonstrate the capabilities of blind persons to manage our own affairs, provided that we could acquire the necessary training and were provided with genuine opportunities. As with most paradigm shifts, this view of blindness was very slow to gain acceptance. In 1963, when Dr. Kenneth Jernigan delivered a speech entitled Blindness, Handicap, or Characteristic, he said, quote, "No one is likely to disagree with me if I say that blindness, first of all, is a characteristic. But a great many people will disagree when I go on to say that blindness is only a characteristic. It is nothing more or less than that. It is nothing more special or more peculiar or more terrible than that suggests. This simple concept was revolutionary because if blindness is merely a characteristic rather than a handicap, then blindness does not in and of itself limit an individual in ways that are more significant than those imposed by the combination of other characteristics that one individual may have." Over the years, we have expanded this concept. Today, we know that blindness is not the characteristic that defines you or your future. Every day, we raise the expectations of blind people because low expectations create obstacles between blind people and our dreams. Let's sing it. Well, wait a minute. Where's the music? Oh, here we go. All right, let's hit it. Braille page 5. Print wherever it is.
Live the life you want. Nobody can stop you. Shoot for the sun and break on through.
so you're blind, you'll be fine. We got good news. You can live the life you want. Yes, we know the truth. Grab a cane, get trained. Gotta get moving. Make a change on a wage. That's what we're doing. Come with me, yeah. And live the life you want. Nobody can stop you. Shoot for the sun and break on through. So you're blind, you'll be fine. We got good news. You can live the life you want. Yes, we know the truth. You and me and a bee, let's dream together. And a bee, you and me, lives on forever. You will see, yeah. You can live the life you want. Nobody can stop you. Shoot for the sun and break on through. So you're blind, you'll be fine. We got good news. You can live the life you want. Yes, we know the truth. You can live the life you want. Yes, we know the truth.
During the past year, how have we raised expectations in Maryland? One of the principles that Mrs. Jernigan outlined that were created in the shift of thinking about blindness is, quote, a recognition that lack of access to information is the primary objective problem caused by blindness. Emotionally created phantom problems are the primary obstacles to solving the objective problem, end quote. By working together, we took several steps in 2015 to reduce the lack of access to information that blind people face. One of the innovative projects of the National Federation of the Blind Jernigan Institute was the creation of the Center of Excellence in Non-Visual Access to Education, Public Information and Commerce, CENA, C-E-N-A. Since government and business in Maryland will benefit directly from this program, we asked for funding from the state of Maryland. In 2014, Governor O'Malley budgeted $250,000 to this endeavor, which the General Assembly kept in its budget. I am pleased to report that Governor Hogan also included $250,000 in his 2016 budget to continue the work of the CENA. The Maryland General Assembly kept that money in the budget as well. We look forward to the great things that the CENA will accomplish, especially its plan to provide access to over 10 million books in the HathiTrust. Governor Hogan proposed massive budget cuts for the Maryland Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, better known as LBPH, beginning in 2016. If these cuts were allowed to occur over the next 10 years, as Governor Hogan proposed, LBPH would have been shut down. Because of our advocacy, the Maryland General Assembly struck this plan from the Budget Reconciliation and Financing Act of 2015. Working in the General Assembly is a mammoth undertaking that requires many hands. Because of the depth of our organization and the willingness of our members to participate, we were able to attend 6 committee hearings in 1 week in the 2015 session. This achievement was especially noteworthy because of the snowfall that occurred on March 5. Many thanks to Karen Herstein and Alum Obama, who went with me to Annapolis a day early to be on hand for the last 2 committee hearings of that week in that blizzard. That's right. Our presence and testimony were especially noteworthy because many of the persons who were scheduled to testify on other bills did not show up. It is well known that the Maryland General Assembly rarely closes when it is in regular session. Hearing from blind constituents gives the members of the General Assembly a perspective on blindness that they would otherwise not have. For example, during the budget hearings concerning LBPH on March 3 and 4, Henry Smith, Sandy and Amy Bishop, and Melissa Lomax told legislators why this library is important to them. As a blind college student, Melissa Lomax described how crucial the library was to her education. At the time of these hearings, Henry Smith had been blind for only 1 year. Yet, he was able to eloquently explain the need for books, magazines, and newspapers for blind people. Amy Bishop wowed the legislatures by explaining her joy in seeing so many Braille books in one place. Amy came to the United States just a few years ago from China, where Braille books are scarce. Since the inception of the National Federation of the Blind, our fundamental goal has always been and remains the full integration of the blind into all aspects of society. Because of our higher expectations, we are no longer satisfied with the second-class status that has been bestowed on us. On the last day, as Mr. Cormer said, the bill SB 868 was passed concerning the transportation companies, and we were able to have language inserted to instruct the Public Service Commission to issue regulations to ensure non-discrimination on the basis of disability and accessibility of all websites and apps. The only way to use these services is to order a vehicle by using a website or an app. We cannot be denied access because we are as entitled to the information and use of these services as any other member of society. The regulations that the commission will put out are stronger than they would have been if our voice had not been heard. The Public Service Commission plans to impose penalties and fines for various types of misconduct. We informed the commission that if there were to be penalties for certain violations, we expect penalties to be imposed for discriminatory practices as well. And I am pleased to tell you that the Public Service Commission agreed. That's right. Let's have a little laugh. State law clearly requires that government information made available to the general public should also be accessible and available to the blind. To date, Maryland has a dismal record in making such information accessible. Maryland also fails to properly accommodate its disabled employees because it purchased a time and attendance payroll system and uses email programs and websites, all with limited accessibility. Creating separate systems for the exclusive use of blind people is not an acceptable solution to these problems. The concept of separate but equal was rejected over 60 years ago. We are working directly with the Maryland Department of Information Technology with the hope of rectifying the lack of access to information faced by blind citizens, as well as the complete disregard of the needs of blind employees. Due to advances in technology, blind Maryland voters were able to vote independently and secretly for the first time in 2002, and we have continued to do that in all subsequent elections. Although Maryland law specifically prohibits the use of a segregated ballot by persons with disabilities, this may happen in 2016. Since Maryland does not have enough of the new electronic voting machines, some voters will have to resort to marking their paper ballots with pencils. By necessity, blind voters can only use the electronic voting machines if we are to cast our votes independently and secretly. If all of the blind voters use the electronic machines and all of the sighted voters use paper and pencil, the ballots of blind voters will be segregated and public. Although the primary is only 5 months away, the State Board of Elections has not yet developed procedures to avoid the problem of casting segregated ballots. We do not intend to lose our ability to vote in secret. One of the greatest barriers to full integration is the lack of opportunity in education and employment. Many blind students, especially those with partial vision, are not provided with the opportunity to learn the techniques and advantages of using a long white cane to travel independently. This year, we sought a legislative remedy to solve this problem with the introduction of HB 535. In the committee hearing, we heard compelling testimony from Desmond Jackson, Fatoumata Poirot, Virginia Anderson, and Melissa Riccobono as to why blind and visually impaired children need more orientation and mobility instruction. As a blind mobility instruction, Desmond explained the importance of giving children the opportunity to acquire these skills at an early age. Fatou explained the hardships she faced because she never received mobility instruction at school. Virginia and Melissa Riccobono, two parents of visually impaired daughters, gave the parent perspective on this very important issue. The Maryland General Assembly passed HB 535, and Governor Hogan signed this bill into law on May 12, 2015, and the picture to prove it is in your agenda. This law requires school districts to regularly notify parents of the existence of orientation and mobility services. The law also states that there is a presumption that all blind or visually impaired students will receive this instruction unless, after an evaluation, the IEP determines that orientation and mobility instruction is not appropriate for that child. We will be working with the Maryland State Department of Education to ensure that there will be strong guidelines to implement this law. We will not rest until every child has access to high-quality O&M instruction. The ability to use a long white cane is essential. Let's have a song.
I was on NFB.org yesterday. They said they would send me a brand new free white cane. It came in the mail and I opened up the package, put it in my hand and I started to tap it, tap that free white cane. Tap that on the classroom floor. Tap that when you're walking out the door. Tap that when you're looking for some more.
gotta tap that. You gotta tap that. Free white cane. Tap that when you're getting on a plane. Tap that in the pouring rain. Tap that, no, there ain't no shame. You gotta tap that. You gotta tap that. Free white cane. Free white cane. Free white cane. Yeah, you gotta tap that.
All right. Blind Industries and Services of Maryland is the largest employer of blind persons in Maryland. The Maryland General Assembly considered a bill, HB 349, awarding a larger proportion of state procurement contracts to the Minority Business Enterprise Program. We joined with BISM to protect the jobs of blind Marylanders, especially those who work in BISM's Baltimore plant. Although HB 349 was passed by the Maryland General Assembly, it was amended to instead study BISM's impact on the Minority Business Enterprise Program. The Maryland General Assembly also struck language that would have prevented BISM from bidding on janitorial product contracts. However, this law, as we were able to amend it, is only a temporary solution. Protecting the livelihood of blind persons remains one of our highest priorities. Throughout our history, we have struggled to achieve equal pay for equal work. We have demonstrated our commitment to this principle by leading the charge to enact federal legislation, such as the Transition to Meaningful and Integrated Employment, better known as the TIME Act. There are currently plans by various vested parties to enact legislation to eliminate the practice of paying disabled persons subminimum wages in Maryland. We will monitor these efforts with great interest, and will support this effort if the resulting legislation truly eliminates this unfair, immoral, discriminatory practice. We continue to help individuals get the services they need so that everyone can live the life they want. We advocate for better services from the Division of Rehabilitation DOORS. We help parents with their child's IEP. We help individuals with Social Security issues. In September, Clarence Hennigan, Desmond Jackson, and I conducted a training session on blindness for workers in the homeless shelters of Baltimore City. We did this because a blind man had been turned away from not one, but three shelters because the shelters incorrectly believed that they could not help him because he is blind. Solving individual problems gives us the knowledge and experience to continue to make systemic changes. A second guiding principle outlined by Mrs. Jernigan, in addition to the lack of information, is, quote, recognition that blind individuals' notions about blindness have been formed in the general milieu of society, and that gentle guidance and support are necessary to reverse the damage, end quote. During the past year, by strengthening our local chapters, we worked to correct the myths and misconceptions about blindness held by blind people themselves. By monthly conference call, chapter presidents and members of the NFBMD Board of Directors shared strategies and ideas on how to spread our message of hope to more blind people. We conducted membership outreach events throughout the state. Our most successful event led to the birth of our new Greater Carroll County chapter. And they will be receiving their charter of affiliation tonight at the banquet. Thanks to the leadership of Janice Toothman, we held a very successful seminar for blind persons who are also deaf or hard of hearing, and we plan to do more. We had a large presence at the Foundation Fighting Blindness Annual National Conference. Aloma, Cheryl, Desmond, Ebony, and Eileen manned our exhibit table. Anil and Maurice conducted workshops there. Ellen and Ken Ringline were part of a panel of Federationist couples who discussed how they live the life they want. Yesterday, at this convention, we began an NFBMD Diabetic Action Network Committee so that diabetics who are blind or have low vision will be able to maintain independence while managing their diabetes. We continued to enhance our presence on the web, on Facebook, and in other social media. We must continue to take advantage of these new opportunities to spread the truth about blindness. Bringing our message of hope to children and parents ranks among our highest priorities. This year, we were able to expand our NFB Braille Enrichment Literacy and Learning Program, better known as NFB Bell, in two ways. First, we were able to offer a Bell program in Salisbury for the first time. We were pleased to partner with BISM to make that program possible. Seven students and their families, many of whom are at this convention, learned about the NFB for the first time. Parents also gained a new understanding and raised their expectations for their children. Amen. The second way that we were able to expand our Bell program was the creation of Bell X. This program was for older students who had mastered the skills traditionally taught in Bell. For these students, we concentrated more on technology and independent living skills. Many of these students demonstrated their Braille fluency skills last night in their performance of the Braille Apocalypse. Wasn't that great? All of these programs cost money. Thanks to LaTanya Phipps and her committee, we had a new fundraiser this year, the Gospel Concert for the benefit of NFBMD youth programs, was a tremendous success. We are so grateful to everyone who made our traditional fundraisers, Basket Bingo, the Crab Feast, and the Bid for Opportunity, great successes as well. It is a struggle to pay for the Bell programs and the youth stipend programs, but it is a struggle that we must pursue. When I ceased to be your president in 2006, I did not expect another opportunity to come to give you another affiliate report. I am humbled by the experience to report our successes to you once again. The list of individuals that I should thank is too long to mention in this report. But I do want to thank Al Maneki, who does a great deal behind the scenes. Please know that I recognize and appreciate your efforts. I am filled with hope that we will reach our goal of integration into society on the basis of equality. We are successful because of our synergy and love for each other. We have learned that no one makes it on his or her own. No blind person is fully free until all are free. Let us live by the words in our last song for this report so that we can make quantum leaps forward in changing what it means to be blind. Is this a song? Here we go.
Sometimes people tell me blind people should be quiet and sit down. But I say no, I say no, I say no. They contend that I should be content to let others lead me around. But I say no, I say no, I say no. Everybody needs somebody to help sometimes, but I'm in charge of me. I've gotta strive, strive, strive. A little harder, reach, reach, reach. A little longer, work, work, work. A little harder, hope, hope, hope. A little stronger, watch me, watch me, watch me. Nothing's gonna stop me, stop me, stop me. I'm spreading my wings, soaring on a dream. Anything. I've gotta be brave even when I'm afraid to do hard things. I'll tell myself, go, I'll just go, I will go. I'm not a fool, I need training and tools to live out my dreams. So I'll say go, I'll just go, I will go. I'm not a passenger in my life, I'm gonna take control and drive. I've gotta strive, strive, strive. A little farther, reach, reach, reach. A little longer, work, work, work. A little harder, hope, hope, hope. A little stronger, watch me, watch me, watch me. Nothing's gonna stop me, stop me, stop me. I'm spreading my wings, soaring on a dream.
Know who we are and what
Let's
we
go.
Must do.
This is my report. Thank you.
We are organized, confident, prepared for what lies ahead.